So as Monica said, I'm going to be talking about psychosocial factors in pre-abortion psychological health, the significance of stigma, and this work is done in conjunction with Jean Tachon and Cynthia Harper from UCSF, as well as Dorothy Ferguson from Planned Parenthood Marmonte. Okay, so we have nothing to disclose. Okay, so I wanted to start off by telling you a little bit about the background of this work, and then get right into the current study and what I think the conclusions and implications are. So why, you may be thinking a little bit of background, why focus on pre-abortion psychological health? So research has really consistently found that women are more distressed before abortion compared to afterwards. So from just the hour before an abortion to just the hour after an abortion, research has shown that depressive anxiety and stress symptoms decrease from just before to just after. In addition, pre-abortion mental health is one of the strongest, if not the strongest, predictor of post-abortion psychological health. So it seems like it would be useful to understand what is associated with pre-abortion psychological health. So the exam researchers really focus on, not surprisingly, mental health after an abortion. And so there have been really three reputable frameworks that have been used to understand this relationship. So there's a common risk factors approach, which basically argues that factors that are associated with abortion, many of the factors that are associated with abortion, like experience of violence or being from a less affluent background, are also associated with subsequent mental health problems. And so you may actually find an association between abortion and subsequent mental health when you don't control for these associations. But when you control for these common risk factors, the association goes away. The stress and coping perspective argues that abortion may be a potentially stressful experience within the context of an unwanted pregnancy, which may also be a potentially stressful experience. And so it will not be stressful for every woman. And so the stress and coping perspective really looks at how, if it is stressful, what coping strategies women engage in. And then depending on the coping strategies, these may lead to worse psychological adjustment post-abortion. The sociocultural framework really takes kind of a larger perspective and sort of argues that we live in a sociopolitical world with different contexts. So for instance, the context of abortion in the United States is very different from the context of abortion in, say, Denmark. And so we really need to be considering how this larger sociopolitical framework is influencing mental health after an abortion. So there has been very little research on pre-abortion mental health. I could find one study, a study by Bluestein and Rutledge in 1993, and basically what they did was they looked at dissatisfaction with family relationships and how that related to pre-abortion depressive symptoms. So I drew from these three previous perspectives on abortion and mental health, so the common risk factors approach, the stress and coping perspective, and the sociocultural framework, to understand what may predict pre-abortion psychological health. Prior research has shown that childhood adversities are associated with having an abortion and subsequent mental health problems. Adversities with intimate partner also fall under the common risk factor approach, so intimate partner violence. Reproductive coercion itself has not been looked at as a precursor to mental health problems, but it seems like it's likely to be. Reproductive coercion is associated with unintended pregnancy, so it would be interesting to see if it's also maybe one of those common risk factors that could be associated with both having an abortion and subsequent mental health problems. Relationship context. So there's been work within the stress and coping perspective that argues and that has shown that having partner social support helps you cope well post-abortion. Future pregnancy desires is also within the stress and coping perspective. And perceived abortion stigma, I would argue, is conceivably from the sociocultural perspective. As I said, having an abortion in the United States, where there is a lot more controversy around having an abortion, a lot more vocal groups that are opposed to abortion, there is much more stigma around it here than in Denmark. When you talk to people in Denmark, there is really very little stigma around having an abortion. So the current study was to examine which of a range of psychosocial factors were associated with pre-abortion psychological health. We sampled 353 women seeking abortions in Northern California who were 18 and older, and they were seeking abortions for unintended pregnancies. So there were two parts to a booklet that we gave. So part one was given in the waiting room before seeing anyone, and part two was given after contraceptive counseling. The outcomes that we were looking at were pre-abortion, depressive, anxiety, and stress symptoms, and those were assessed in the waiting room before seeing anyone. The predictors we looked at were those predictors that I had shown earlier, so childhood adversities, adversities with intimate partner, so the reproductive coercion and the intimate partner violence, and that was assessed within the past 6 months. So the relationship context, so things like I can talk to my partner very much about things that really matter. The pregnancy desire, so do you desire a pregnancy, like when is it that you desire your next pregnancy, as well as it being very important to avoid a next pregnancy in the next year. And then perceived abortion stigma was measured with one item measure, actually, that has been used in previous work. And it was, I will be looked down on by others for having an abortion. And that was actually the only thing here that was actually assessed after contraceptive counseling. So everything else was assessed before in the waiting room. And so we conducted hierarchical linear regression models, and we entered them in five or six different steps from more distal to more proximal factors. So just a little bit of descriptive of the sample. So the mean age was 26. Most of the women were from minority backgrounds. Most had less than a college degree. Most had household incomes that were less than $10,000 per year. Most were never married. Most were having a surgical abortion. And most were having first trimester abortions. And so this just shows those other characteristics of the psychosocial predictors, the percent of those in this sample. So as you see, most of the women actually had two or more childhood adversities. 35% had experienced some verbal violence. 5% had, that's in the past 6 months. 5% had experienced some sexual violence in the past 6 months. And as you see, 12% had experienced some pregnancy coercion in the past 6 months, and 7% had experienced some birth control sabotage in the past 6 months. With respect to relationship context, most had been with their partner for over a year. Most said they were in a very serious relationship, and most seemed to talk with their partner about things that really mattered. Also, most seemed to really want to avoid pregnancy in the next year, and most wanted to be pregnant in three or more years or never. And then 37% either strongly agreed or agreed with the statement that they will be looked down on by others for having an abortion. So this just shows the bivariate relationships between these psychosocial predictors and depressive anxiety and stress symptoms. And as you can see, more childhood adversities were associated with more depressive anxiety and stress symptoms, more frequent intimate partner violence in the past 6 months, and more frequent reproductive coercion in the past 6 months were also associated with these three mental health outcomes. And then the other thing I really wanted to point out was if you look at the very bottom, a perceived abortion stigma, which is that one question about I will be looked down on by others for having an abortion. As you see, that's strongly related to also pre-abortion mental health for all of these outcomes. So this shows in each step we entered each of these predictor variables. So in step one, we entered the demographics and type of abortion. In step two, we entered, then we added number of childhood adversities, then we added adverse experiences with sexual partners, and all the way down to adding perceived abortion stigma. So this is building upon each previous model. So as you see, for instance, if you look at the very first step, we see that 2.6% of the variance in depressive symptoms was explained by demographics and type of abortion, right? So this was statistically significant, but not that much variance, right? And you see, for instance, right, the number of childhood adversities, when you add that to the model, that adds another almost 11% of the variance, right? And so then you go all the way down and you look, we've entered everything here, And then you go all the way down. I'm just going to step away from him because this is really, I think, powerful. You go all the way down, you see, right, that after you end everything, a whole other 13% in the variance is explained by just that one item of perceived abortion stigma. And so I think that's really actually quite significant. If you look at it for depressive anxiety and stress symptoms, this is saying, right, that a third of the variance that is explained is explained by perceived abortion stigma. And what's even more interesting is if you look at this, so if you redo the steps and you enter, you know, you decide to enter pregnancy desires last or number of childhood adversities, it turns out that that entering everything else last, choosing to enter, does not explain nearly as much variance as when you enter perceived abortion stigma. So the most amount of variance that's explained, it's not surprising, when you enter after perceived abortion stigma, when you enter number of childhood adversities, that then explains the next amount of variance. But it only explains, in addition to everything after everything is entered, an additional 4.5% of the variance in depressive symptoms, only 5.7% of the variance in anxiety symptoms, and only 3.6% of the variance in stress symptoms. Right? So this, for me, was pretty strong evidence that there seems to be some strong association between abortion stigma and pre-abortion mental health. So then this is just the final model. So this is a linear regression model, so it's saying, so for each unit increase in perceived abortion stigma, the depressive symptoms increases by 3.29, and then similarly two points for anxiety symptoms, and then 2.5 points for stress symptoms. And then, so I think, as you see also, another consistent predictor, not surprising from the other previous slide, is number of childhood adversities. And so I think the conclusions are that there do seem to be a few independent predictors of pre-abortion mental health symptoms, so perceived abortion stigma, number of childhood adversities, and then more frequent adversities with intimate partners. So I guess I wanted to point that out too. So if you look at intimate partner violence, more frequent intimate partner violence was associated with more depressive symptoms, but then it was actually more frequent reproductive coercion that was associated with more anxiety and more stress symptoms. And I think another thing to draw from this is it does seem like perceived abortion accounted for the most additional amount of variance. And so I think this just implies that distal and proximal factors, right? So childhood adversities, as well as things more recently, like a number of adversities with intimate partner, as well as your own personal expectations regarding abortion stigma, are important for understanding mental health around the time of an abortion, both pre-abortion and because pre-abortion mental health is a strong predictor of post-abortion mental health. You know, it suggests that these same factors may be influencing post-abortion mental health. And so reducing abortion stigma may decrease mental health symptoms around the time of abortion. Again, not just before the abortion, but also post-abortion, because pre-abortion mental health is a strong predictor of post-abortion mental health. I just want to acknowledge my funding for this, and I am happy, since we are going to do it, to take questions. Yeah, so the item we asked that assessed this was, I will be looked down on by others for having an abortion. And so certainly different things could be wrapped up in that, right? I mean, it could be, I guess you could be thinking of your, you know, that you're projecting, right, what you think other people are going to think because you're judging yourself. Or is it that you yourself, as you were saying, really don't have any negative judgments about having an abortion, but you know that your community or the sociopolitical context of the United States does. So in some sense, we weren't able to tease that out here, in a large sense. But it would be interesting to certainly get into that more.
Yeah. Did you ask any questions about
We didn't. The main purpose of the study was actually to look at the role of mental health in contraceptive behaviors, so we weren't really assessing sort of political views, but it would be interesting.
Could you speak a little bit about why you asked the stigma item after the contraceptive counseling instead of before with the rest of the
prototype? Yeah, I mean, I think, so again, the stigma action piece was not the main purpose of this, and you know, I was just interested in stigma, and the first part of the booklet was getting long, and and the second part of the booklet was really quite short, and so there was, in some ways, it was just a more feasibility issue. I will say that, so for some of the women, as I said, it was post-counseling for all of the women. And then for some of the women, it was, not all of the women, for some of the women, it was also post their abortion, just the stigma item itself. And that was because of the way the clinic particularly, like they had people come in and get their abortion on the same day that they did the contraceptive counseling and the ultrasound and everything, whereas the other clinics had the woman come back to get the abortion. The responses to the stigma item didn't vary whether they were asking that pre or post abortion. I mean, it would be interesting to see if, I guess, if pre to post counseling, if the stigma item
right.
would change.
Or if there's a moment in counseling to address, like if you ask it before, if there's a way to address
it. Yeah. No, that's a really good point. I think that's a really true point. You could, people who are already high on it, maybe there's a way that you can target that.
Thank you.